Well, they said I'd have to come to work, so I brought my toolbox. Amen. No, I have an illustration I want to get to in just a moment, but have you been wrecked for Jesus Christ? Isn't that a great statement she said? I was wrecked for Jesus. I love that. What, boy, that's refreshing to me. That's why I like going into the jail. It's just so refreshing to hear the testimonies of those who have responded to Christ and then to hear the cries of hope and desire for hope because they're wrecked by life. Well, I'm so honored that I could be a part of Across the Street and Around the World. 15 years ago, I was just telling Pastor in the first service, 15 years ago this month in October is when this church and the elders laid hands on me and prayed for me and then sent me to jail. So I'm just so thrilled that they knew how to get rid of the riffraff, and I can't believe you guys would even vote on me as an elder. I don't know. You all need to pray. That's all I got to say. But we're just so honored to be here. I am so thankful for our church's support, and I'm so thankful for our prayer, the prayers of the saints here, and I'm so thankful for our pastor and the staff that help put up with me every month as we send out our newsletter. And by the way, if you'd stop by our booth, if you've never seen our newsletter, Jail, Jesus Alive and Lives, the Lord gave that to us when we first started. When I came here to Grace, I think it was in 95, I was told that a missionary is not worth his salt without a good newsletter. So I started working hard on that right away. So hopefully I'm worth the salt. Thank you, Pastor, again, for all your support and your prayers. So this toolbox, I just wanted to make mention of it real quick because I just want to give you an update on the jail, if I could, real quickly. I'm not paid by the city, state, or county. I have to raise my own support, and there are about 18 churches that support us, as well as lots of people, and we're so thankful for that. I'm always on deputation. I'm always raising support, and that's a part of the ministry that, to me, is a privilege because I get to declare what Jesus is doing wherever I go and share. But I wanted to mention to you that since March, when COVID started, they shut down all of the 28 volunteers. They no longer could come in. So that was a devastating thing because, first of all, without them, the 1,000 inmates that we were running at that time, it's just hard to, I mean, you can imagine 1,000 people that one guy can't even begin to touch. So we have people doing Bible studies, doing book cart ministry, and then doing one-on-ones that would come in and serve that way. And many of them come from Grace Church, and I really I'm sorry, but I don't have the time to mention every one of them, but they're all precious to me and to God because they've been called. And so that occurred in March, so I'm alone, home alone. So you can imagine what that would be like. You've seen the movie. It's just terrifying. But anyway, so I'm in there all by myself. I'm able to go to the office and answer their request, but I'm not able to see them face-to-face since April or to have contact. So that was like stripping me of everything that makes me me. So that was very, very difficult. In fact, I think I went into a depression of some sort. Patty said, I think you're depressed. And I said, I think so too. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gave me 3 funerals to do. And some of you might say, boy, that's the weirdest story I've ever heard. But you don't understand. At these funerals, I could actually literally see someone, touch them, share the gospel, and it was so exciting to me. So God used funerals to encourage my heart. But back in about the end of July, 1st of August, I went and asked if could my secretary come in to the jail? Because good grief, she doesn't see anyone. She just comes in the office and works on my mess. You know, I'm a mess. And so God brought Sherry Miller and so back to help me. And so it was like I got fellowship again within the office, and it was such a blessing to have her back. And one day we were talking, and she brought up in her prayer life every day, she always asks that God would use her, but that his toolbox, the tool that he would bring out would be her life, and that he would use Sherry to minister to others. And that just really rang true to my heart, and it was a great, great encouragement. So I started praying the same thing, and I just think that's what we all need to pray, that we might be a tool that God uses in someone's life. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but nuts are hard. I'm talking about the nuts of people's hearts. I'm talking about how hard they are. and how resistant they are, but God just uses just the right turn when you share your life with them. And I just want to mention to you that God doesn't waste a thing. In fact, did you notice in Jolynn's testimony, she didn't receive Christ in jail. What she did was she came back so often, we called her the frequent flyer. She was there continually, it seemed. And one time it got to the point toward the end where she was seemingly doing better and hopefully not coming back. I mentioned to her, I said, you know what? We still love you and you keep coming because we'll leave the lights on. We'll leave the lights on like Hotel 6. So she thought that was hilarious because she'd come back so often. She almost had a cot assigned to her. But anyway, her story is so powerful. I want you to understand too this morning that when Jesus invades our life, he can't and you can't remain the same. You will be changed. In fact, you better understand that God is in the business of changing every one of our lives and making us more like him. In fact, the Lord, as I was praying about this time together with you, he laid this on my heart. He said, everyone's story begins with me, the moment that they meet Christ. And everyone's story is continually ongoing because it never ends, because he continues to work within as we pursue him. Isn't that, I just think, God, thank you so much for giving me that thought, because that's truly my life. My life is continuing on since 1972 when I gave my heart to Christ. You see, I was empty inside. I had no meaning and purpose. I had no direction in my life. In fact, I just simply was trying to orchestrate my life through the very ups and downs and all of the things. Even at 19, that's how old I was. And I remember coming in contact with several who gave me their testimonies, who gave me their life story, but always pointed me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And always ended up our conversation, are you ready to give your life to Christ? I said no several times. I'm so thankful because I use this thought with inmates all the time. You know, you might have the freedom to make this choice, but you don't know how long you have this freedom. Amen? Because sometimes your no means no, and that's it. And that's it. But the Holy Spirit uses every word from his word as well as the words of his servants to minister to hearts and to draw them to Christ. And that's what was going on with Jolynn. Jolynn was someone who received so many seeds, and then the seeds finally took root. Well, it's so encouraging to me to know that in Acts 1:8 it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. You understand, this first Sunday is all about us reaching across the street, reaching across to our neighbor. And I don't know about you, but mine are in jail, as well as where my location is, where we live in Carlisle. Everyone needs Jesus. We just need to go. We need to share. We need to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so I wanted to share with you this lesson or this teaching today, this sermon on give testimony to testify. Can we just pray real quickly? Father, thank you for Jolynn's testimony. Thank you for the hundreds, if not thousands, who have heard the gospel in jail. Thank you that you didn't just arrest them, but rescued them and brought them there, because so many, Lord, are on the very edge of death and want to die. We just thank you, Father, that you are a great God who changes us and continues to work in the activity of our lives. Thank you for who you are, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got your scripture sheet, does everyone have it with you? It was in the back of the auditorium. There's no COVID on it at all, amen. It was sanctified by the Holy Spirit and set apart. Amen. So if you've got it, let's read it together. I just want to pick up on this key verse. Can we do that right there? Can we all say it? I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I thought of that when I read it, how instantly Paul was changed on that road to Damascus, and instantly he went out, in a sense, after God gave him his sight back, to give his testimony over and over, and especially before kings. You see, Paul was used in a mighty way because he was not ashamed, and God had set him apart for that purpose, to have such a man of violence towards the Christian faith be one who's changed because he met Jesus Christ. We're called to be ambassadors, are we not? Ambassadors are someone who represents someone else, an agency, a nation, a person. And it's all about that representative, that ambassador to go tell someone as to who they represent. Who do you represent? Yourself? Or do you represent Christ? There are a lot of believers that you would think represent themselves because all they do is talk about me instead of talking about Christ. Hopefully, the love of their lives. Well, in a court of law, a person who witnesses a crime is asked to testify to what he has seen or heard. In some way, God asked to testify to what we've seen or heard. God asked us to testify, you see, as a witness to his activities in our life. Is he active in your life? Do you have a prayer life where you're seeing him answer prayer? Man, I get excited when God answers prayer. Amen. This morning when I walked, I noticed it was snowing out. By the way, Sheila, our own Sheila, she's responsible, Marty and Sheila, because she's from the South and still can't get over that white stuff. Well, I'm over it as soon as it's over, amen. And I'm ready for summer, and I pray that all winter long we hardly get any. But she prays, oh God, dump it all out right here. And so remember Sheila's prayers when you all pray against her. But that's against that snow, amen. But anyway, as I was walking, I just asked the Lord, could you have it stop so I could stay dry? And sure enough, he did, at least where we live. So I don't know if you guys have faith like that. Maybe some of you think, well, that's a weird, weird prayer. But when you walk, you don't want to get wet. Amen. Anyway, we do this by giving our testimony. In other words, we testify to what Christ has done. See, you can't testify about something that's not real in your life. You can't. In fact, that's why maybe a lot of believers or so-called believers don't testify, is because it's not real in their life. It's just not real. It's what they have been consumed with because they've been around it. They've heard others share. It reminds me of a story I just read recently about Billy and Melvin. And they were both farm kids, actually in their teens. And they were out one day looking up in the sky because they heard a plane flying above. And as they looked up into the sky, they saw this plane was actually putting letters, you know, the old smoky letters where they'd write something up in the sky. And they wrote GP, GP. And Melvin and Billy looked at those letters, and one said, go plow. That's what I think God's trying to tell me. Go plow. He was a dairy farmer, and so he stayed on the farm. But guess who the other Billy was? Billy Graham. Billy Graham read GP and he said, God, go preach. Go preach. And he did. Isn't that something? God has a means of speaking to us, and God has a way of calling us. And when I left the prison ministry, and by the way, there's a huge difference between prison and jail. Jail is temporary. Prison is permanent. We're so thankful for the ministry that goes on to those in prison. But God had me develop my experiences there at Newton Prison before he brought me to Polk County, and I'm so thankful for that because he helped me understand that when they're in jail, there is such a difference with the hearts of the men and women there that some of them, it's the first time they've ever committed a crime, first time ever being in jail, first time to ever have their lives crushed, first time basically to be rescued, like this one young man this past week that told me about the fact that he, like Joanne, tried to commit suicide by overdosing with heroin. And so we were able to talk to him. And by the way, if you want to build an instant friendship, just listen to someone talk for 5-6 minutes. All of a sudden, they think you're their best friend. And you are their friend, because when I go to see someone, no matter if it's in the hospital or my neighbor, I want to be their friend. Do you want to be someone's friend? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He wanted to be our friend, amen? And when he invaded my life at 19, he said, Jerry, I want to be your friend. I want you to trust me with every aspect of your life. And so when God answered my prayer when I was 19 for a specific thing that I really didn't want to experience, he did that, and I was still going to hell, but he answered my prayer because I didn't respond to him other than thank you that I got out of that mess. But I still wouldn't have gone to heaven because I had never trusted in Christ. But what he did by answering my prayer was to teach me to trust him with my whole life. And I eventually did. And so the point of the matter is we have nothing to testify unto unless we have a daily developing relationship through prayer, the word, and importantly, the church body. pastor zoomed in by the Holy Spirit in the last few weeks from Thessalonians, that we need each other desperately. Can you say amen? We need each other desperately. And you know, this interaction time is not just time to come in and leave, but it's a time to really rub shoulders and to contact with one another as to the burdens and the desires of your heart, so that we can pray for one another, so that we can care about each other, so that we can lift each other up in prayer. And I really think it's so important that we understand now more than ever we need each other, because there's such an influence of fear instead of an influence of faith. And we need to step out and encourage one another, if not anything else but the phone. This isolation of our lives is very, very dangerous. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so we need to reach out. We need to care about one another. And we need to utilize the giftedness that we have, that God has given us, with each other. Really, all I am is a cheerleader for God. You see my pom-pom, I'm shaking it hard. You see my skirt, please don't laugh at my legs. But the point of the matter is that I'm not gifted like Pastor Phil. I'm not wanting to be like Pastor Phil. I just want to be what Jesus made me. How about you? And to be comfortable in my shoes. God himself will and does the testifying of himself with or without man. See, Jesus doesn't really need us. He just uses us, because he can. Amen. And so it's so important. The Holy Spirit, first of all, there's these ways that God testifies. He testifies to Jesus Christ so that we may believe. It's interesting. John 5:32 just simply says, there is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. That's the Holy Spirit, you see. And the Spirit himself testifies, number two, with our spirit. In other words, God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit. In fact, you can't be a child of God without a new spirit. You know, without the Holy Spirit, you can't be a child of God. And I need to be born into God's family. I was born of my parents. I need to be born of the family of God. I need to be born again. Have you experienced being born again? Have you experienced coming into Christ and Christ coming into you? Number three, God himself testifies that Jesus is the Son of God, because there is this lack of trust that Jesus was who he said he was. Although he had all of the authenticity of proving it over and over again, still we live in a world that doubts it completely. I was so encouraged by a guy in a pod one day who, a Christian, had come back. You know, he stumbled and failed. He came back to jail. God has a way of disciplining us sometimes that way. And this guy was a believer, and he walked around his pod, because many of them do, to get exercise. And he happened to run across a guy very distraught and upset. And he said to the guy, he said, what's going on? You seem like you're really distraught and upset. What's going on? And he said, I'm going to court today, and I'm looking at 25 years, and I really don't want to experience the next 25 years in prison, and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, do you mind if I pray for you? I'm a Christian, and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I don't care what you do. I'm an atheist. I don't believe anything. And he said, well, if you want to, go ahead, buddy. And so this man knelt his head and touched his shoulder and prayed for him. And sure enough, later that afternoon, he went to court, and he came back that evening, and he was just almost shouting, because when he came back into the pod, he ran to this man and he said, I don't know what you know and what you've got, but that power source that you have in praying for me, they dismissed my charges and I'm getting out. The point of the matter is that this man testified because he had the Spirit who bore witness in his spirit that he was verified. Who he was a Son of God. Number four, the Scriptures testify about Jesus Christ. They point and prove that he is the Word, the Logos, the written Word, the living Word. You see, Jesus is the written Word. He is the Word of God. He is the one who changes us. John 5:39 just simply says, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. You know, the whole book, the Bible, is all testimony after testimony of God declaring who he is, so that we have no doubts how great he is and what he can do in our lives. And thus, that's what he did by coming to this earth. He came and he verified the fact that he was the Son of God, the one that we could trust with our lives. Well, how are we to testify? There's five ways. 1 John 1:1-4 tells us how the apostles, and especially the Gospel of John, written by John, wrote down these thoughts. That which was from the beginning, We know that from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, which we've heard. We've heard the living Word, which we've seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at with our, which we've looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning that life, the Word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it. You see, they couldn't help but speak of what they had seen and heard and touched. And you see, going on, it says that, he has eternal life and was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. When we have this relationship with Jesus Christ, when we experience Him on an ongoing basis, there's a great joy that we have because He's working in our lives. Is He working in yours? Do you have a joy about the Lord because He's doing so much? Well, aren't you glad that the apostles didn't stay silent? Do you know, I have a lot of people, and by the way, all you have to do is practice, and you'll find that you will do it more easily all the time. Practice what? Sharing. Sharing your heart, sharing your life. That's all it is practice. And when you get practiced at it, you want to do more of it because it's so much joy to share what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. But the apostles didn't stay silent. I've had some say, how do you know that you what you believe is true? I open the Bible and I say, well, there's all kinds of witnesses that saw it, touched it, and were a part of it. I'll trust them any day. Amen. And so these five areas is that they heard. They heard from the living Word. What we have seen with our eyes concerning God's works. What they touched with their hands concerning the body of Christ. What we proclaim or speak, giving testimony of God's activity in our lives. And then what we could write down or journal. Do you do that in your walk with Christ? Write down prayers that you've offered up? Do you write down answers? Do you write down circumstances that are impactful for you? Things that are maybe maybe just things that God has answered in a huge way for your life. Prayers that God has answered. Prayers that moved others. Do you write them down? Do you write them down? What is the problem? Well, there's the problem. It's really with us. It's a lack of daily connection. Do you connect with God? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but night seems to be the time that I'm awakened in my sleep. Instead of tossing and turning, I usually get up and go spend some time with Jesus. And it's amazing. I usually wake up the next morning more refreshed and rested than I do if I get a good night's sleep. I think Jesus wants to spend some time with me. How about you? I know this, that I've gotten sick before, and as soon as I lie in the bed, I'll say, okay, Lord, you got my attention now. Here I am on my back. And you can say what you've been trying to say, that I've just been too busy in my life. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. And to share his word with one another. Do you see? It's so important. Teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and gratitude in your hearts to God. One of the reasons why I love the jail ministry so much is that it's so refreshing that people are reading their Bibles and they're actually sharing things that they've received from it, nuggets and truths and answers to prayer and things that are going on. It's like the gal that ran down to our office down in the old jail, and she was so upset and distraught, and the teacher, I could overhear because we were all in this one room at that time, and she said, yes, she said, what's wrong with me is I'm getting out in 2 weeks and my mom is an addict, and that's where I have to go. That's where the courts have told me I have to go, and I don't want to go there because my life has changed since I met Jesus Christ. And so all those sweet gals gathered around her and prayed over her and said, oh God, do something miraculous in her mom's life. Do something miraculous. 2 weeks later, I happened to be in the office, and she come running down there, and she was just a bubbling mess. And she said, oh, you can't believe what God has done, what God has done. And they said, what? And they said, well, my mom, I wrote her a letter and told her all about my life being changed in Christ. And she told me when I called her that she had went out into the marketplace, and somebody just met her at Walmart or someplace and invited her to church, and she went. She got saved, amen. And then my mom is a new mom, and I get to go home there. Praise God, amen. I get pretty excited about stuff like that. Can you imagine having Christ and then going home to an environment like that? You notice in Jolynn's testimony, she had it all going. You know, one reason why I showed that video of her particular testimony was because I thought more people could identify with the fact that everything's going so good. But there was some incident in my life I just could not handle that wrecked me. And then all I wanted to do was die. She lost everything. But here's the thing. She found Christ. It changed everything. Here's another reason why we're not getting this testimony that's fresh. We're not dealing with our sin. We're not confessing it. God's been laying his hand on my heart about anxiety. You know, I had one of those moms that excused herself and said, I'm a mom. I'm just entitled to worry. So there you go. Well, I used to be a worry wart like my mom. It's interesting how we identify with people, especially those who are closest to us. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and he said, you're not to worry. Be anxious for nothing. I said, boy, that's a bad habit. And then the word of God came to me to change my mind regarding anxiety and worry. And that is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your minds in Christ and minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Those are the verses I cling to when I begin to be anxious about things. Prayer. Prayer changes things. Not obeying his commands to when he speaks to us. Do you understand how important it is in even just the littlest command? If we obey that, God moves us to bigger and bigger things. I was saying in the first service that when I accepted Christ in 1972, 2 weeks after I accepted Christ, I got baptized. Well, why is that so important? Well, because I wanted to obey the first command. You know, you can't get off first base to go to second until you do the first command. Amen. So I got baptized. One of the most spiritual experiences of my life, because I felt like, Jesus, I'm pleasing you, aren't I not? And then he tested me, because I was, at the time prior to accepting Christ, I'd gotten into the Dale Carnegie course, and it was all about self-esteem and self-image at the time when I was lost. And now when I found Christ, that was all fixed for me for the most part. Now I'm still sort of working on that issue, but I'm just saying that God changed me. And so I was supposed to everybody in the class was supposed to tell their story of their life. So I told my testimony. I gave my testimony. And so I was so young in the Lord, I just didn't care if they cared about Christ or not. I guess I did. And so that was enough. So I gave my testimony about Jesus Christ. And at the end of that night, they said, wow, that was a powerful story. And here's a book. So I got honored and blessed by God because I spoke up for him, because he told me to, you see. He told me to go tell my story. Interesting enough, when we had our 10th year reunion from high school, been out 50 almost, it's amazing. I raised my hand. I said, I'll do it. And the reason why I wanted to do it was I wanted to tell my story. Amen. I wanted all my classmates who might be going and dying and going to hell to hear about Jesus Christ and how he changed me. And so that was a privilege that I was really thankful for. And some came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for the courage it took to share your testimony. I guess I didn't know any better. I just loved Jesus and wanted to tell someone. So are you ashamed or are you a coward? It's interesting in Revelation, it says no cowards will be in heaven. Interesting, isn't it? Look at this thought in 2 Timothy 1:8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel in the power of God. You know, if some of you don't know what to talk about with somebody, talk about the jail ministry. Talk about what God's doing there, that people are getting saved and changed. It's the best kept secret in America. Best kept secret in Des Moines, because most people don't know that that's going on over there. Almost 40 years altogether, the ministry, been there 15. And the point is that you can tell them about that, because that's your means of telling them about the gospel. and sharing the good news with them. It's interesting, if any is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels. Serious stuff. But you know what motivates us? Love, not guilt. Like, I hope you don't feel guilty that you're not. I hope you fall more in love with them and you can't help, amen? So last of all, testify with me and with all of us the power and conviction, because it's real to you. You see, if it's your conviction and your love, how can you help but talk about what's real? The real things of God are your life and your story. Nobody else can deny it. It's what's changed you. The testimony of God from you for God is your experience, and no one can take it from you. So all I can say is experience him today. Experience him today, because this is what's so important. When I get done sharing, there's a short video I want you to watch that's powerful about your testimony that we didn't play in the first service. And it's the whipped cream for this service. It is awesome video. But I want you to understand that as I read the book of Acts, which to me has changed my life over the years as I've read it. It seemed like God always did something in my life in reading it. But let me tell you, you and I are writing the chapter 29 of Acts. Our testimony of the Holy Spirit's activities are what we're writing in that book, in this 29th chapter. I don't know about you, but I want it to overflow and be the longest chapter in the Bible. Amen. Because we're making a difference for Christ.